This chapter of Likutei Halachos, we said, is primarily based on chapter 47 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks a lot about the topic of Achila. Let's continue from where we left off. V'zehu she'ikar birchas hamozoin hu niskan el Eretz Yisrael. Based on what we're discussing so far, we could understand why one of the main focuses in our Birkas HaMozoin is about Eretz Yisrael. That second bracha speaks about, especially about Eretz Yisrael, and it's mentioned also throughout. K'may Shekosuv, and as it says in the Torah, Uveirachto es Hashem Alekecho al Horetz HaToiva, that after you eat a meal, you'll bless Hashem over the good land, about Eretz Yisrael. Kizehu Iker Birkas HaMozoin Al Yidei Eretz Yisrael, because this is one of the main ideas behind Birkas HaMozoin, the connection to Eretz Yisrael. Shemishom Yoitzin Imrei Shefer, from which come forth words of truth. We know that when Yaakov Avinu gave the bracha to his children, the bracha that he gave to Naphtali. Naphtali is the one who is able to run very quickly. The pasuk says, Naphtali ayolo shlucha. Naphtali is like a deer that runs very quickly. Hanoisein imrei shofer, who gives forth words of beauty. The Gemara tells us that Eretz Yisrael is compared to this also, because Eretz Yisrael gives forth its fruit much more quickly than other lands. So this concept of ayolo shlucha, quick as a deer, and hanoisein imrei shofer, which gives forth words of beauty, is also attributed to Eretz Yisrael. And again, the word Naphtali is the letters tefillin. We touched on this before, and Rabbeinu Zal, in that chapter on Likutei Moran, connects tefillin, emes, Eretz Yisrael, and the topic of being able to perform miracles, as we'll see soon. And the word shefer means beauty. The word shefer also refers to truth. The word shefer is similar to the term tiferes, which is also beauty, which is associated with emes. So Rav Nosson Zal said here, Ki zeh ikar birchas hamozoin al yidei Eretz Yisrael, shemishom yoitzin imrei shefer al yidei emes, Shehu b'chinas tiferes, klolius agavnin, k'moy shekosuv shon. As Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 47, ayin shon, look over there for more details. V'zeh b'chinas hakois shel birchas hamozoin b'shloisha. And this will also explain the significance of why, when there are at least three people eating together, we can use a kois for birchas hamozoin, a cup of wine. Ki ha-kois hu b'chinas malchus, ki yadua. Because kois, the term kois, is associated with the sphere of malchus, as is known. The Arizal says that the word kois is bigimatria elikim. And Hashem's name elikim is often associated with malchus. There's a pasuk velikim malki mikedem. Hashem is my king from way back. V'hu b'chinas Eretz Yisrael. And Malchus, Shehu gam kein b'chinas Malchus. So the Kois, which is Malchus, is also associated with Eretz Yisrael, which is Malchus. Eretz Yisrael is associated with Tefillah, Emunah, which is also the union of Malchus. V'zeh shom Rabbi Seinu Zal, and this is why the Gemara says, Kois shel brocha tzorech sheyitein einav boy. That when a person is using a Kois shel brocha for Birchas HaMozoin, the one who's benching should be looking at the wine. If the person doesn't know the Birchas HaMozoin by heart, then they have to look in a sitter. They have to look into a bencher. But if the person knows the Birchas HaMozoin well, their eyes should be looking at the wine of the kois. Bechinas Eretz Yisrael. This is similar in concept to Eretz Yisrael, shenemar bo, about which the Torah says, Tomid Einei Hashem Olekecha bo, that the eyes of Hashem are constantly focused on Eretz Yisrael. So again, the Kois and Eretz Yisrael are both this Bechin of Malchus, which the eyes are shining light into it. Ki Iker Eretz Yisroel Nase Alidei Ho'einayim Elu Kimavura B'Mokam Acher. Because the holiness of Eretz Yisroel and the specialness of Eretz Yisroel comes from these eyes, from the eyes of Hashem constantly looking at Eretz Yisroel, as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this at length in the second half of Likutei Moran in chapter 40. Gam, in addition, we mentioned previously, Al Yidei Zeh, through Achila Digdusha, Yucha Lasois Moifsin Ulashanois Hateva Kiritsoinoin. That will enable the person to be able to perform miracles and to change nature according to that person's desire, according to what they want. As Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likutei Moran, the Zohar Kodesh says in one place that there's a pasuk Velemor Litzion Imiato. Hashem says to Tzion, I'm sorry, Amiato, you are my nation, you are my people. So the Zohar Kodesh says, Al Tikri Ami Ele Imi. The word Ami, Ayin Mem Yud, could be read my nation, or it could be read with me. And the Zohar Kodesh says, Hashem says, just like I create heaven and earth with my words, so too you can create heaven and earth with your words. And this is speaking about words of emes. Remember, when Hashem created the world, He started with emes and He finished with emes. The first three words in the Torah, Bereshis Bara Elikim, the last letters make up the word emes. The last words of creation, the last words at the end of the seventh day, Asher Bara Elikim La'asois, also, the last letters make up the word emes. So emes are the two pillars of creation, the beginning and end of creation. When a person is speaking Imre Shefer, we just learned here, words of beauty, words of emes. When a person is saying the Birkas Hamozayim, after having eaten properly through Achila Digdusha, the person was zoche to emes, that person can also create heaven and earth. The whole concept of nature is guided by the stars, by the constellations. A person who can create heaven and earth controls the stars, controls heaven and earth, and therefore has the ability to override nature, as Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there in chapter 47. Vaydezeh nizgale malchusoi. And through this ability to override nature, through this we reveal the kingdom of Hashem. Sheyoidin sheyesh shalit u'moshel yisborach. People come to realize and recognize that there is a king, a ruler, al yidei shinui hateva, by the fact when they see nature being overridden. Veze b'chinas hakois shu b'chinas malchus. And this is again tied into that kois of Birchas Hamozayin, which we said is Malchus. Hainu hizgalus Malchusoi. We're talking about revealing the kingdom of Hashem, meaning making people aware of Hashem's kingdom. V'alkein, and therefore, al yidei Birchas Hamozayin nimshach hashefa kemuva. It's brought in the Zohar HaKodesh, and it's brought in other places, even the Halacha, the Mishneh Berurah writes, that a person should say Birchas Hamozayin with kavana, and if a person says Birchas Hamozayin properly, looking in a siddur at the time when they're saying it, the person is ensured that they will never have any difficulties in Parnasa. So Rav Nosson Zal says, through Birchas Hamozayin, that's how we draw Shefa upon ourselves, sustenance. Kal yidei zeh nimshach Hashefa me'eretz Yisrael. The reason being, because through Birchas Hamozayin we're connecting to the essence of Eretz Yisroel, which is the source, Ukimavur b'makam achar ayin sham, as Rabbeinu Zal explains in other places, that all Shefa comes from Eretz Yisroel. Rabbeinu Zal refers to that, I believe, in chapter 7 in Likutei Moran. V'zehu gam kein b'chinas sholosh brochoy shel Birchas Hamozayin doraisa. And this is also the concept of the first three brachas of Birchas Hamozayin, which are Mida Oraisa, Keneged, Bechina Shloisha Kaveh HaEmes, corresponding to the three channels of Emes, Bechinas Yaakov, Shekolu Mishloisha Ovois, which is Yaakov Avinu, who is a composite of all three forefathers of the Jewish people. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to address the last bracha of Birchas Hamazon. Ubazeh nochoin divrei Rabbeinu Zal, based on what we're learning here now, we'll be able to understand the words of our rabbis, Shomru, who said that Birchas Hatoy Vahametiv Tiknu al Haruge Beta Shenitnu Likvura. That the fourth and final bracha of Birchas Hamazon, the rabbis added that when the Jews that had been murdered in the city of Beitar during the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and they were not allowed to bury them for a certain substantial period of time, when the Goyim allowed us to bury them, in order to commemorate that, the rabbis added this additional bracha to Birchas Hamazon of Hatoy V'Hametiv. Rav Nosson Zal asks, Vadovra Tamua, this seems to be very strange. Ma hashaychis shel birchas hakvura lebirchas hamozain. What's the connection between blessing Hashem over the fact that the Jews were allowed to be buried and birchas hamozain after eating? Val pi hanal mekusher heitev. But based on what we've been speaking about over here, we'll see that it fits perfectly well. Kisim Rabbeinu Neiro Yoresham b'Maimranal, because Rabbeinu Zal over there in chapter 47 in Likut Imran, he concludes the chapter by quoting that pasuk again, Va'achaltem ochol v'savoya, you will eat and be satiated, satisfied, v'hilaltem shem Hashem alekechem, you will praise Hashem, and the pasuk continues and concludes, V'lo yevoishu ami la'olam, and my nation will never again be ashamed or embarrassed. Because again, emes is referred to as oyer haponim, the light of the face. We mentioned earlier, mevakshe ponecho Yaakov selo. Yaakov Avinu, who is emes, is referred to as the oyer haponim. Busha, shame and embarrassment, is the opposite of that. When a person is embarrassed, their face changes colors, showing a tremendous downer. The fact that the person, chas v'shalom, it's called spilling a person's blood. It's like committing murder when you embarrass somebody. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, Hainu shalidei achila bigdusha b'chinas emes nitzoylen mibusha. Based on what Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likut Imran, and based on what we've learned earlier, when a person is eating properly, which is associated with emes, the person is saved from embarrassment. Ki emes hu b'chinas tiferes. Because emes is associated with the sphere of tiferes, which is beauty, which is klolius hagavnin, which is a combination of colors, multicolored. Vayudeze nitzoylin mibusha. And through emes, through tiferes, which is this combination of colors in beauty, this saves a person from busha, from embarrassment, shehu gamkein klolius hagavnin, which is also a combination of colors. The person turns red and white, but there it's mimidois hanefulin. There it's from the fallen midois, from the spherois in a fallen way, not tiferes in its beauty, but chas v'shalom the opposite. Kimavoy Hashem, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran, Ayin Sham, look over there. Viato, and now, Nochoin Ma'oid, Hiskashrus Habrocha Voido Shalakvura, Lebirchas Hamozain. Now we understand beautiful the connection of this bracha of Hatoy Vahametiv that the rabbis instituted to thank Hashem over the fact that these thousands of Jews were allowed to be buried. Why we attach that to Birchas Hamozain? Kize mevur, because this is something that's very clear. Shehakvura hu kisui v'tikun al habusha shel hameis. That burial is covering and a tikun for the shame and embarrassment of the person who passed away. Shemizbaze bein hachayim. That person would be embarrassed if they were just lying there among the living people. Just like we know there's a halacha that says that when a Jew visits a cemetery, you're not allowed to have your tzitzis showing outside. Those people that have their tzitzis showing, when you go into a cemetery, you must put them inside or cover them. Why? So as not to embarrass the people that are buried there by the fact that, look, I can do a mitzvah and you can't. So there is this concept that once a person passes away, they feel shame and embarrassment over the fact that they can no longer do mitzvahs. And again, we know that usually the body deteriorates, there's an odor, a foul odor, so all of these things are related to busha. And this is one of the reasons why we bury a person, to cover, to eliminate that shame and embarrassment. It's called kovod hames. All the laws about burial and how we treat a person who passes away are called kovod hames, the opposite of this busha, this shame and embarrassment. Validei ha-kvura mechasen al-boshtoi. And by burying the person, we cover this shame and embarrassment. Ki ha-kvura hu kvoid ha-mes, tikun ha-busha. As we find that terminology used in the Gemara and Halacha, v'alkein shaycho shapir le-birchas ha-mozoin. Now we see how it fits perfectly with birchas ha-mozoin, shehu bechinas emes. We said before that Birkas HaMozayin is this concept of emes, sha'al yodoi nitzoylen mibusha, which is the opposite of shame and embarrassment. Through emes, a person is saved from shame and embarrassment. Emes is the beauty, the radiance of the face. Now, Rav Nosson Salih adds another point. Gam beruchnius, also on a spiritual level, hakvura hu hashovas hanefoshois lenartikon. Burial is what enables the soul to return to its, to be put back in its sheath, in its case. Lamokor shenechzvu misham, to the place from this which the soul was originally taken, which is the kisei hakovoid, the throne of glory of Hashem, kayadua, as is known. And a similar item is accomplished when a person eats properly. Because we know when a Jew eats properly, we're elevating the souls that have been reincarnated in the food and drink that we're eating and drinking. We help them be able to return to their original source, which is exactly what's being accomplished when somebody's buried. We mentioned earlier, if you recall, a pasuk, the Baal Shem Tov says that there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Re'evim gam tzemeim nafshom bohem tisatov. They're hungry and also thirsty. Why are Jews hungry and thirsty? Because nafsham, because there are souls that bohem nisatov, that are wrapped in the foods and drinks. And those foods and drinks can only, the souls in there can only be removed and elevated and returned to the kisei hakovod when a Jew eats those foods properly, makes the right bracha on it, and eats bikdusha. That's how we release those souls and allow them to return to the kisei hakovod. V'zeh yodua. Now Rav Nosson Salih adds a third point. V'zeh yodua. I'm sorry. Shezeh b'chinas kvura. We said, okay, v'zeh yodua. This is known. She'ikar mailas ha-kvura hu kvura beretz Yisrael. That the real best burial is when a Jew is zeichet to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. V'yidei birkas ha-mozoin. And through Birkas HaMozoin, by which we activate the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, which is related to Emes, as we mentioned earlier, Azai mistaknin v'choizrin lemekoiran. Then everything is repaired and returned to its original place. Bibchinas kvuras Eretz Yisrael, like burial in Eretz Yisrael, which accomplishes the same thing. Another point, gam birkas hamozon shubchinas emes hubchinas chayim kimavur sham b'maim ranal. The mitzvah of birkas hamozon, which we said is related to emes, is also tied into life, as Rabbeinu Zal mentions over there in Likut Imran. There's a famous Gemara where the Gemara says there was a city that was called Kushta. Kushta in Aramaic means emes, where the people there did not die. The Malach HaMavis could not enter into that city. The only way a person died from that city was if they left the city. So emes is synonymous with life. We know the Gemara says, Yaakov loy meis. Yaakov Avinu never died. He did not experience death. And Reb Shimshon Ostropolia says, the words emes liyak, titain emes liyakov, the words emes liyakov make up the words Yaakov loy meis. So emes is synonymous with life. Meis, you take away the aleph from emes, and you have meis, chas v'shalom. Sha'alke nikra Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Hachaim. This is also why Eretz Yisrael is referred to in the Torah as the land of the living, the land of life. Because again, we said Eretz Yisrael receives, is so connected to Emes. V'hakvura hu gam kein b'chinas chayim. And burial is also associated with life. Ki hames sheniftar zoiche l'chayim al yidei hakvura shehu tikunoi. Because when a person passes away, they're zoiche to start their new life, in Gan Eden, in Olam Haba, by being buried properly. Because when the Jew is buried properly, the tuma, whatever tuma was associated with that person, dissipates. The body becomes purified. And through this, that person will be zoche to come back to life when there'll be tchias ha'nesim, when the dead will be resurrected. Nimtza. So we see, therefore, shehakvura hu chayim mamish, that burial is life. That's what starts the new life for the person. That's why it's so important, according to the halacha, to not to leave a person that passed away without being buried for any long period of time, but rather to see to it that the person should be buried as immediately as possible. Umachmas kol hanal. And Rav Nosson Zal says now, because all of the reasons that I just mentioned, tiknu birkas hatoiv ametiv ala kvura, etzel birkas hamozim. This is why the rabbis established that bracha, which was said to praise and thanks Hashem for the fact that all of these Jews were zecher to come to a Jewish burial. That bracha is connected to birkas hamozim. Any questions, please?
Talking about Kavura, there's a very big Indian just before the Kavura to carry the body on the shoulders. Do you know anything about this?
I don't.
I've seen sources for it, and the first time I did it, I was at Levaya, and I was carrying a friend of mine, and the minhag there in Gush Etzion was to carry him on the shoulders.
I'm wondering, why is it that Rabbi Nathan is binding this fourth beracha dafka to Gvura? It doesn't really hint out to Gvura except the word Hu Yeitiv Lanu. It's also talking about the present moment, not dafka on the Gvura.
The answer is Rabbein Nizal is not the one that makes the connection between that bracha and kvura. That the Gemara says. It's a Gemara that says that when the Harugei Beitar were allowed to be buried, that's when the rabbis said, made this bracha of Hatoiv Umeitiv. We'd have to check the Gemara to see how the Gemara explains that. I don't remember at this moment how the Gemara shows what the connection was between that bracha and we know that when a person passes away, we make the bracha Baruch Dayan Ho'emes. The Gemara says that there are two things that are diametrically opposed to each other. When something very good happens in a person's life, we make the bracha Hatoiv Hameitiv. When something negative happens, when something terrible, a tragedy happens, we make the bracha Dayan Ho'emes. It's possible that the connection here is that because these people were not given a Jewish burial, when they finally were given the burial, there was such a simcha at that they went to the opposite end of making this bracha Hatoiv Hameitiv. But I'm sure in the Gemara, if we check, either the Gemara or the commentaries will give the explanation as to what the connection is.
The Gemara said that Toiv Shevayar Kivu, Hameitiv Shevayar Mekura.
Exactly. One detail on this is, the Gemara says that the words Hatoiv and Hameitiv, those two words specifically, the Toiv was thanking Hashem for the fact that even though these bodies had not been buried, they didn't rot. There was no foul odor whatsoever coming out of them. The bodies didn't spoil at all. The Hameitiv that Hashem allowed, that they were given permission to actually bury them. But again, I'm sure there's more.
Which bodies are we talking about here in this Gemara?
The Harugei Beitar. The city of Beitar, the Gemara tells us, was one of the cities that had a tremendous population. If I recall, the Gemara speaks about this in Gittin, where it speaks about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, page 56, 57, 58. And there the Gemara says that there were either 6 million or 60 million Jews in Beitar, in the city of Beitar. And they were murdered at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and weren't allowed to be buried for a period of time.
Weren't they the ones who participated in the merit of Bar Kosiva?
Possible.
I also want to point out two things. Number one, that there is also, there's a bracha Hatova Meitiv. I've seen in Halacha that one can make it after someone is nifter, if one receives a Yerusha that benefits other people also. There must be some connection there. I'm not quite sure what. And another thing I want to point out is that there are stories about Tzaddikim Gedolim whose bodies did not rot. One notable one, Reb Shimon Lovi, the author of the Pisman Bar Yochai, his body was dug up a few hundred years after he was nifter, and it was totally fresh. And there are other stories also.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Okay, there's one more short paragraph that Rav Nosson Zal attaches as an appendix to this halacha. He concludes with the words Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'amen, and then he says Shayach le'el, related to what we said earlier, V'alkein birkas hamozon tzorech zimun lahazmin hakedusha kemuva. Based on what we're learning here, we'll understand also why there's a term zimun, to invite the people to bench. We say the words raboisai mirvilin benchen. Rabbis, we're going to bench. That's called hazmana, preparing everybody, inviting and preparing the people to bench. And this is a topic that's discussed in the Gemara in several places, that there are certain times of holiness where in order to establish the holiness, it requires hazmana. Ki anu roitzim lo'oirer kan kiddush haseretz Yisrael. Because when we're saying the Birchas Hamozoin, we want to activate the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Ki Yisrael yesh lohem koyach lasoy seretz Yisrael b'chol mokoyim shehein. Because the Jewish people have the ability to establish the holiness of Eretz Yisrael wherever we are, afilu bechutzlaretz, even in chutzlaretz. Kamuvon bedivrei Rabbeinu Neirayor bekama mamorim, as Rabbeinu Zal points this out in several places in Likutei Moran. There's a term, Bnei HaGoyla, that the Jews are referred to as a people of exile. And Rabbeinu Zal says in one place that the word Goyla makes up the first letters of Venishar Gamhu Lelokeinu, that this also will remain for Hashem. And the Gemara learns out from there that stadiums and theaters that the Goyim use for their culture will eventually be used for religious purposes. In other words, it'll become part of the Kedusha, like Eretz Yisrael. We saw an example of this recently when there was a Siyum Hashas, and it's becoming more and more public that this concept of people joining together to learn Daf Yomi and Shas, where in the city of New York, they took the largest stadium in the state of New York, which holds 93,000 people, and they used that for the Siyum. That was one of the locations that was used to celebrate the Siyum Hashas. So the Gemara over there uses this term. Rabbeinu Zal explains that this is a concept of taking places, and that wherever the Jews settle in Eretz Yisrael and they build yeshivas and shuls and things like that, that place becomes a Bechinas Eretz Yisrael. V'kan anu oisen umayurin kedushas Eretz Yisrael aydei birchas hamazon shubechinas emes. Now, we're saying when a Jew is reciting birchas hamazon, that's another way of turning on this Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael, this concept of Emes. V'alidei ha'kois shenoy seinenav boy, and also through the cup of wine that the person is placing their eyes, they're looking into it. Shaydeze na'ase b'chinas Eretz Yisrael kana, which we said also helps generate this Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael. V'alkein tzorech hazmona. And this is why there's this need for this invitation, for this declaration. Kdei lahazmin hakidusha chadosha shanu oisnu mayrenata. In order to invite and this new holiness that we're establishing now, hainu kidusha Eretz Yisrael, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, shena sekan, which is being established in a place where a Jew is reciting Birkas Hamazon properly, with kavana. And again, this gives us an idea as to how a Jew should say Birchas Hamazon, to say it slowly, because Rav Nosson Zal is showing us that there are major, major things taking place when a Jew says these words, Birchas Hamazon, properly.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Over here, we see that on one end, Rabbi Nathan is telling us, Ki Israel Yishlam Koach Lasot Eretz Israel Bechol Makom Shehem Afilu Bechutz La'aretz.
Yes.
And on the other side, we see the great importance of coming to Eretz Israel. Yes. If I can make Eretz Israel Chutz La'aretz, and I see that I have Makom that's Mufla, that has mamash everything that I need in order to be a firm Jew, why should I come to Eretz Yisrael Mamash, if I can have it there?
This is a perfect example of why it's so important not to study one page of Likutei Halachos or one page of Likutei Moran. Because when a person reads one page and they take it literally, they take it the way they're seeing, a person could get a very wrong impression. Rav Nosson Zal, in other places, writes pages and pages about the significance of coming to Eretz Yisrael. And one of the few exciting, incredible stories that we have of Rav Nosson Zal's life in his autobiography, which he himself wrote, is where he describes what he went through to travel to Eretz Yisrael, how meaningful it was, how important it was to him, how special it was. And we know about Rabbeinu Zal, that when it's written about Rabbeinu Zal, the Mesiras Nefesh, how he put his life in danger in a tremendous way. And it invoked major self-sacrifice on his part and the part of his family when he made his trip to Eretz Yisrael. And when Rabbeinu Zal arrived in Eretz Yisrael, we're told he took four steps and he said, okay, I'm ready to go back. by taking four steps in Eretz Yisrael, I already attained everything I wanted. And Rabbeinu Zal said from that point on, he was ashamed and embarrassed of the Torah that he had learned and taught before he got to Eretz Yisrael, that he didn't want that Torah to be published because it's like nothing compared to the Torah that he achieved after getting to Eretz Yisrael. This is why it's so, so important when we learn something to know that we're learning it, we're absorbing it, and to know that in order to really understand what I'm learning, I need the big picture. I need to learn many, many pages. I need to learn the whole book and all the books. Or I need to come close to someone who has learned more and understands the big picture and therefore can present it properly. It's very dangerous when a person points to one line and Chas Hashem tries to paskan a halacha or something like that based on what one line without having the big picture.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Sure. Anything else before we continue, please?
We see Rabbeinu, as I understand it, did not want to be murdered in Eretz Yisrael. He was given that option, and he said he wanted to be in Chutz La'aretz so that his followers would be able to get to him more easily. So we see that it's not an absolute to be buried in Eretz Yisrael.
Sure. Moshe Rabbeinu is not buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this, that there are certain tzaddikim who had to be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael, thereby ensuring that the Jews that are outside of Eretz Yisrael would be able to be brought to Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes. Halacha Gimel, a new world. This halacha is a little bit larger. And again, as we get on in numbers, Gimel, Dalet, usually we find Rav Nosson Zal explaining much more, clarifying. The halacha that we just learned was an example where Rav Nosson Zal's words were very clipped. You have to look into the Likutei Moran to see the connections better between Emes and Eretz Yisrael and Moifsim. As we get to the later halachas, usually Rav Nosson Zal is more elaborate and clear. Inyan Birchas HaMozoin, the topic of Birchas HaMozoin, Al Pi HaMaimar Va'atem Tiuli Mamleches Koyanim, based on chapter 34 in Likutei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Moran, Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Cherpa Shavra Libi. Shame and embarrassment broke my heart. Hainu, Hacherpois ubizyoinois, Shoivren Liboi Shelotam. The shame and embarrassment is what breaks the heart of a person. This refers specifically to a person's sins, Chas V'Shalom. A person's sins, the things a person does wrong, they cause the heart to be broken. The Hatikun, and the way that we repair all of this, Hual Yidei Shemekasher Liboi, Lanekuda Hashayach LaLiboi Bo'ez Hazois, is by connecting and attaching our heart to the specific holiness that's relevant at that point in time. And in that chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal highlights 3 points. He highlights the connection to the tzaddik, that's one very significant thing, that by a person attaching themselves to the tzaddik, that's one of the ways that a person will be able to repair this broken heart, to get rid of, to wash away the sins, the shame and embarrassment. A second point is the tremendous importance of good friends, interacting with people, colleagues and students, and husbands and wives, friends, that interaction. And the third level, the third connection, is a person's own personal, private connection with Hashem, one-on-one. Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this over there in Likutei Moran, and Rav Nosson Zal is going to speak about this and tie this together to Birchas HaMozoin here. Ki hamemsholo beyad hatzadik. Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likut Imran that the tzadik is king. He is authority. He is rulership. We see the pasuk says in Chumash, the Yosef hu hashalit. Yosef is the ruler. He's in charge. All shefa comes through him. And Rabbeinu Zal says there, when we say he's in charge, how is he supposed to use that authority? Rabbeinu Zal says, v'ikar ha-memshola, the most important use of that authority that the tzaddik has is lohoyir ulo'oyrer libam la'voidas Hashem Yisborach, to inspire and shine light into the hearts of the Jewish people, to inspire and motivate us to serve Hashem. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, v'yosef hu hashalit. Ubechina hazois, haynu bechinas v'yosef hu hashalit, hu bechinas melupum. And Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likut Imran that the Tikkun HaZohar teaches us that each one of the midos, each one of the spheros, is associated with a specific vowel in the Hebrew alphabet. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that the sphere of Yesoid, which is Tzadik, which is Yosef, is associated with the Nekuda of Melupum. Melupum is a Vav with a dot inside of it, in the middle. That's called Melupum, the U sound. Bechinas, and Rabbeinu Zal says, the word Melupum is Meloi Pum. His mouth is full, a full mouth. Lahoiro is to teach us Sheklei Hashefa, that the vessels of sustenance, Hainu HaPeh Shel HaTzadik, which is the mouth of the Tzadik, Molei Me Elokusoi Shel Hashem Yisborach, is full with the divine spirit of Hashem. In other words, when we talk about a tzaddik being the source of bracha, bracha is l'roish tzaddik, and when we talk about a tzaddik being the source of shefa for the world, how does he achieve that? Through his mouth, through his prayers. We know that it's brought that the Avos HaKadoshim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were the ones who instituted the three prayers, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. And it's brought that there's a different verb used in the Torah by each one of these. When Avinu instituted the tefillah of Shachris, it says, Omad, he stood. And the Gemara says, Ein Amida Ela Tefillah. Stood means he stood in prayer. By Yitzchak Avinu it says, Vayetza Yitzchak Losuach Basode. Yitzchak went to speak to Hashem in the field. Sicha. By Yaakov Avinu it says, Vayifga Bamokoin. He suddenly arrived at the location, of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara says, Ein Pegia Ela Tefillah. So Rebbe Froimel, one of its Breslov Tzadikim of the earlier generation, says, take a look at these three verbs. Sicha, Pegia, Amida, the first letters make up the word Shefa, showing us that the Shefa, our sustenance, comes from the Tzadikim through their prayers, through their tefillah. And this is why it's their mouth, it's Molei Pum. Their mouth is full of the divine spirit of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there also, ubishvil ze tzrichin lehispalel bapeh daiko veloy b'machshav olavad. It's in that chapter in Likut Imran that Rabbeinu Zal asks the question, if Hashem knows my thoughts, Hashem knows everything I'm thinking, why do I have to verbalize my prayers? Why isn't it enough for me just to think? And Rabbeinu Zal says there again, because the keli of shefa, the vessel, the cup into which Hashem is going to pour shefa is your mouth. The mouth is shaped like a cup in a sense. And the mouth is the malchus, which receives all the light from all the midos above it. Therefore, in order for a person to be able to receive shefa, they must verbalize, they must speak the words of tefillah. The haklal, Rav Nosson Zal is going to summarize that chapter in Likut Imran for us. The haklal, basically what Rabbeinu Zal says over there is, Shahat Sadik, hu nekuda haklolis. He represents a composite of everything. Shoresh nishmos Yisroel. He is the foundation, the root of all the Jewish souls. And therefore, ubetchilo tzrichin hakoyel lekabel me'atzadik. Step one is that everyone, all the Jewish people, must receive from the tzaddik. V'yachakach, afterwards, tzorich lekabel kol echad mechaveroi. Each and every individual Jew has to receive from their fellow Jews. Ki b'chol echad miYisrael yesh nekuda toiva dovor yokor ma she'ein b'chaveroi. Because every single individual Jew has something that no other Jew has, other than the tzaddik, who's a composite of all the Jews. But each and every individual Jew has something unique and special in them, which the only way I'm going to be able to get it is by interacting with that person. Ubechina hazois sheyesh b'chaveroi hu bechinas tzaddik negdoi. And this good thing that my friend has that I don't, in that respect, he is a tzaddik compared to me. And again, I need to go to the tzaddik to be able to receive that. V'tzorech lekabel minekuda zu al yedei shemedaberem chaveiro b'yir ha-shamayim. And the way that a person receives that nekuda from their fellow Jews is by speaking to their fellow Jews about Hashem. Speaking about Yiddishkeit. V'yacharkach, now, step three, v'yacharkach tzorech lekabel kol echod minei ubei. Afterwards, each and every single Jew has to receive from inside of themselves. Mehanekuda sheyesh boi bi'atzmoi, from the holiness that's found inside of me, of each one of us. Lohoyer hanekuda sheyesh boi, to turn on that light that's inside of the person, shehu tzaddik moishel, which is that aspect of tzaddik inside of the person, to turn it on, aliboy, and to draw it to my heart, to the person's heart. How? Alidei shemedaber beinoi levein koinoi, by the person speaking to Hashem in hispoidus, in personal prayer. Lohoyer bechinas pi yedaber chochmois. Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likutei Moran, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, pi yedaber chochmois vehegois libi tevunois. My mouth speaks intelligent things, and my heart understands also tevunois, understandable things. And Rabbeinu Zal says there, that when a person's mouth is speaking words of prayer properly, Tashem, those words are also heard by the person's heart. Pi yedaber chochmois vegeis libi tevunois. And that's one of the things that plays a role in purifying the person's heart. Pi yedaber chochmois shubechinas hanekuda el halev, to draw that to the heart. Now, Rabbeinu Zal, in that chapter, Likutei Moran, uses this word nekuda. Nekuda technically means a dot. It's a term that's used in Sifrei Kabbalah to refer to holiness sometimes. A nekuda, a piece of holiness, that kind of thing. Val yedei sholosh bechinois elu nizbatlin hacherpois hashoyren al alev, shem shviras lev. And by following these three paths, the connection to the tzaddik, the connection to my fellow Jew, and the connection to myself, through this a person will eliminate these shame and embarrassment that's resting on the person's heart, shehem shvira salev, which cause the breakage of the heart. Dahainu kol hatayvois rois. What this refers to also is all the bad tayvois of the person, which again are based in the heart. Ki kol hatayvois boim mishviras kli chesed shemishon boim kol ha'avois hanefulim. Rabbeinu Zal over there makes reference to what the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, that during creation, during the beginning of the world, Hashem tried to place his light into certain vessels, and these vessels shattered. They couldn't contain that light. And it's brought that the kli chesed, the vessels of kindness. Kindness is synonymous with love. Ahavas chesed. When that shattered, what happened was that the love and the kindness went to bad places. Where a person loves food, they love other things. You know, where a person has taivos for things that a person shouldn't have taivos for. That's this term, ahavos hanefulin. Umishom kol hacherpoi shel alev. And that's where all of these shames and embarrassment of the heart come from this shviras kli chesed, from these taivos rois. Validei shemekasher halev el hanekuda. And by the person attaching their heart to that holiness, shehu bechinas tzaddik, which is the aspect of tzaddik, whether it's the tzaddik himself, or whether it's the aspect of the tzaddik in every single Jew, or whether it's the tzaddik inside of myself, aydezeh nizbatlen kol hacherpois vashviros. Through this, a person will eliminate all of the shame and all of the breakage, bebechinas, as the pasuk says, al kol pshoim techase ahava, that over all sins, there's a certain love that can cover up and correct and repair all types of terrible sins. Kishom etzel kol hanekudoy sanal, shem b'chinas tzadik b'chinas yosef, shom shoyre ahavo degdusha. Because by this holiness that we refer to as this nekuda, this aspect of tzadik, there is found ahavo degdusha, holy love, b'chinas koyhein, which is referred to as Kohen. Kohen is called Chesed, Ahava. Bibichinas, as the Pasuk says, by Pinchas, when Pinchas rose to the level of Tzaddik by killing Zimri and Cosby, it says, Hinini noisein loy es brisi sholoim. Hashem said, I am hereby giving him my covenant of peace. Hanemar bepinchas, this is what was said to Pinchas, Kishenitne loy hakohuna, when Hashem gave him the priesthood, the kohuna. It's brought that before that, the kohuna was scheduled to stop at Aharon and his sons. It was only because of Pinchas performing this incredible act of tikkun habris, tzaddik, as a result of that, he was zeicher to receive the kohuna and for the chain of kohuna to be able to continue until today. Ki koyhein bechinas ahava degdusha, because koyhein, which represents holy ahava, koyhein is chesed, levi is gvura, yisroel is tiferes. So koyhein, who represents ahava degdusha, shoyre etzel habris sholoim. That holy love is found and rests by the bris, shehu b'chinas tzadik, b'chinas yosef, b'chinas nekuda anal. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that when there was this shviras kli chesed, when these vessels of chesed burst, and this chesed and ava fell, it fell down into the yesoid. It fell down into that midah of yesoid. And that's why Rabbein Azal says over there that this ahava digdusha is found by the tzaddik, by the tzaddik, by this sphere of yesoid, the mid of yesoid. V'yalkein, and therefore, al yidei shemekasher halev el hanekuda sheshom shoyre ahava digdusha, therefore, by attaching my heart to that nekuda, that holiness, that tzaddik, that aspect of tzaddik, where the ahava digdusha is found, nizbatlen ahavos hanefulos. That eliminates all the wrong types of ahava, all the taivos rois. V'chol zeh al yedei sholosh nekudos hanal. And all of this is accomplished by these three connections. Shehu tzadik hador. Connection number one is the tzadik of the generation. V'achakach lekabloi dein min dein. And afterwards, the interaction between the students, the interaction between the colleagues, our fellow Jews, where each one is receiving from the other, V'achar kach mineyu bei. And then that third connection is the connection between me and myself, a connection that's being accomplished by my personal relationship with Hashem. Ayin shom kol ze heitev heitev. Study that chapter on the Likutaron, chapter 34, very well to get a solid foundation for this chapter of Likutei Halachos. That chapter on Likutei Moran is one of the famous ones. There's quite a bit of Likutei Halachos expounding on it because it's so basic. Any questions, please?
In the beginning, when soon after Rabin passed away, when they used to come to the elders, the Breslov elders, and wanted to know of Rabbeinu of the Hasidut, they were pointed to that Torah. Is that a valid source?
Please say that again. Say it again.
So when after Rabbeinu used to come and wanted to discover about the Breslov, back in the days when Rabbeinu passed away, the Breslov elders, Rabbi Natan, would
direct them to this chapter.
Point in that chapter of Likutei Moran.
Very possible, because Rav Nosson Zal, in expounding on that chapter on Likutei Moran in several places, we're going to see it over here and in other places. One of the proofs he brings to it is that we see in the Gemara and in the Zohar Kodesh, when a great rabbi passed away, the students would get together afterwards to review among themselves, to study among themselves, to remind themselves of the things they had learned from their rabbi. So again, could be that was to show us that when the Rebbe is not here, when the Rebbe passes away, we have the students, we have several sources by which we can still maintain that powerful connection to the Rebbe, to this aspect of tzaddik. One, we've mentioned this in the past, one of them is the kever of the tzaddik, the other one is his teachings, his svarim, the third one is his students, and the fourth is a person's own personal connection to Hashem. We're going to see this possibly in this halacha, and definitely in other chapters in Likutei Halachos, which Rav Nosson Zal bases on that chapter in Likutei Moran.
Thank you.
The three verbs of tefillah that we mentioned were Sicha, by Yitzchok Avinu, Vayetze Yitzchok Losuach Basode, Sicha. By Yaakov Avinu, it was Pigiyah, Vayifga Bamokoim, Pigiyah. And the third one was by Avram Avinu, Amida, standing. The Gemara quotes those three expressions in reference to the tefillahs that these three giants established for us. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and a good week. This was the introduction. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go in to show us how Birchas HaMozoyim, the mitzvah of Birchas HaMozoyim, ties in beautifully with everything Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter on Likutei Moran.
Thank you, Rabbi. Sure. Have a beautiful day.
A wonderful day and a good week to all.
Thank you so much, Rav Nosson. Kol Yisrael.
All the
Thank
best.
You.
All the best.
Thank you, everyone else, and have a great day.
You too.